Welcome to Track Record's 2018 Market Outlook. As 2018 approaches, we speak to finance professionals about their key themes and risks for the coming year. Will 2018 bring more stability or more uncertainty? How should investors react? This week, we speak with Damien Low, co-founder and CIO of Ensemble Capital, which is a hedge fund that will be launched in January with seed capital of $75 million US dollars from high net worth investors, family offices, and institutional investors. Before starting this fund, Damien was an FX options trader at JP Morgan for 15 years in various financial centers around the world. Damien believes in combining the domain expertise of humans with the analytical prowess of artificial intelligence and machine learning to gain an edge in markets. Hear from Damien as he shares with V the themes and trading opportunities that he sees in the year ahead.
Hey, good morning, Damien. How are you doing today?
Not too bad, V. Close of the year now, but we're quite busy on our side, you know, just getting all the setup ready for our slated for our fund launch in January. So busy, even though it's a holiday season.
Oh, wow, cool. So you are launching in January, huh? So you must have thought about the themes for 2018. So what is your top themes and trade ideas at this point?
Yeah, so part of the work that has kept me busy is like basically thinking on how the world will evolve next year. Very generally, just to keep it brief, is that I think the risk-on rally will continue, albeit not at a strong pace as we've seen over the last year and the year before even. I generally think that it would be driven mostly by economics and also the rally continuing in equities, especially from the tech names. Even though they look quite high on a valuation basis, I still think that they have room to go because it's really earnings driven as opposed to just people's ideas of where it should be overall. On closest to home, I think China continues to wind down its leveraging.
You think China continues to deleverage? Is that good for China or good for macro or no?
I think it won't be great for risk, but I think what will be good, you know, for markets is not, they all know that China needs to deleverage, but I think they want to make sure that it happens in a very stable and orderly manner. And right. I think China, Xi Jinping holding all the strings of power and being very strategic about it, will be able to walk down the leverage ratio in a very orderly manner, and I don't think there will be too much risk on the back of that. It's more of a question on the pace of it and how they actually, like what they actually do to this, because they have a lot of different ways they can do it. So it's just really how they go about doing it and the pace of how they do it overall.
Yeah, so what's the trade for this?
So I think overall, the trades for that is that I think dollar Asia lower, right. That dovetails very well with the risk-on view that I have for next quarter. Overall, with China also not being front and center in people's minds, and it just being deleveraged as opposed to having any strong moves there, I think overall you'll see Southeast Asia just continuing to improve there, and you can actually put on some risk there. Part of my view on that as well is that I don't think U.S. interest rates go up too much because I think yields will be contained overall because I think most of the hiking expectations by the Fed has been priced in already.
Right.
What I do think you need to watch out for, though, is like the tax bill. If that goes through in its current state and shape, then, you know, I might have to revise my view a little bit because that will be a quite a big tax burden and yields might shoot up on the back of that, especially the longer dated yields.
Right. So yields contained until the tax plan gets put through. What about the overall dollar? What do you think about the overall dollar?
I think given that the correlations between FX and rates is quite high now, a lot of people are looking at the interest rate differential between countries to really look at what their FX view is. So I think that dollars generally drift off. So dollar Asia, I mentioned, it should come off. I think euro also, given that we've seen strong growth figures there and that the troubles in terms of the EU overall, it's not not front and center in people's minds as well. Means that euro has a good chance to rally relative to the dollar I think also that the fact that risk overall is positive means that people will want to deploy some of their capital in EM as opposed to US as well.
Right. So you're positive risk assets. You like emerging markets. You like Asia in particular. Do you have a favorite currency in Asia?
I don't know. Don't call me biased because I'm Malaysian. I like dollar Malaysia lower. I think I think it's basically missed the risk rally for the most part last year, and it has a lot of catching up to do. I think people's concerns about the high debt ratio and the illiquidity has made it been passed over by most institutional investors. But I think there are signs that their reserves are starting to pick up again to protect the currency, and as well that the economic numbers are starting to turn around as well. And I don't think there will be too much instability as well, because I think some of the political concerns are behind us now over the whole 1MDB and the other things associated with that. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, basically, I'm thinking the same thing. Economic numbers continue to stay good. Inflation continues to be benign. It's a growth environment, and then risk assets do well. So, yeah, but I'm a bit confused about the dollar because I'm not sure. As you said, right, there's a view where, you know, the world is all getting better, so there's more exporting of capital from the US to emerging markets and maybe even Europe, right? So I'm still thinking about this. What else do you foresee in the year ahead? Anything?
So just latching on to your last comment, I think, you know, if you're not so keen to play Asia, positive Asia against the dollar, one thing to consider is perhaps Aussie Asia.
Right.
Australia has been something that's really benefited previously from interest rate differentials, where it was favoring the Australia. But I think now that the interest rate differentials relative to other countries isn't so great, the fact that real estate is really expensive there, and some of the numbers are now kind of plateauing out, means that I feel that Australia has should be weakening over the next year relative to other countries. Aussie dollar was one of my views, but you could easily put it on against like Aussie Sing or Aussie Ringgit. Sing being more liquid if you want to shy away from Malaysia.
Right.
And Sing, given the last stellar GDP figures as well, it's not bad to put it there. It's also a general proxy for the overall region as well. So I think that's something good for most people to look at.
Right, that's a good point. Singapore dollar has always traded as a proxy to the rest of Asia in times, right? Yeah, so you are actually bearish Aussie against dollar as well?
that's something I am looking at overall. I don't think it's turned just yet, but it's definitely something I'm looking out for. I still haven't made up my mind whether I should do it Aussie Asia or Aussie dollar, but definitely bearish on the Aussie side. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. So yeah, all the range, your fund is based on using artificial intelligence to make better decisions. But tech is all the rage now, right? What do you think of this cryptocurrencies mania that's happening?
I, given my background in computer science, I feel that I understand it more than the general public, although I might not be an expert on it. My
right.
view is that I like blockchain as a technology. I think it's very good and it has a lot of potential for the future. I think, unfortunately, the public has made Bitcoin synonymous with blockchain and they're just buying on the back of that without really understanding what's going on. So once people realize that there's more to blockchain than just Bitcoin, I think people's view might also turn on that. I really need to see for Bitcoin to be widely available for you to be able to liquidate your positions in Bitcoin easily, not in like small amounts of 10,000 or less. And also widespread adoption by retail for me to really be more bullish from Bitcoin than where it is right now. I don't think that's going to happen though without the governments around the world saying that no, I don't want to lose control of my own currency, so I'm definitely going to put some regulation on it. So I don't think that's going to happen. What I think also that's helped drive the rally is the futures listing of Bitcoin. And I think that might be a classic buy the rumor, sell the fact. So I think now that there's an avenue for people to actually short Bitcoin easily, you know, might be that trigger that it needs, you know, for it to start coming off from here. But, you know, I have a very low conviction either way on that because I don't really look at it too much. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, I think in general, you're right. I think the blockchain technology is going to change the world, the way many things work for us, right? But as you said, the average person thinks Bitcoin is what blockchain is all about, right? But there's a lot of things that blockchains can do that it's not just about Bitcoin. And if Bitcoin has the weakness of being the transaction cost is going up and the transaction time is going up. So it's not exactly a medium of exchange going forward, I think. But as long as money keeps flowing in, well, the bubble continues for now, I think. As I every day we get conversations with, we have conversations with people who ask about how to get involved, right? So I think there's a lot of pent-up demand among people who have no clue about cryptocurrencies, but they just want to be invested somehow. So that's interesting. I guess thanks for your time. Unless you have any more things that would be interesting.
I think one thing just, you know, I wouldn't call myself a Scandi expert at all, but I think one interesting to note that's caught my attention that but is generally outside of what I look at is that the Scandis have Euro Norway, for example, has really deviated from its correlation to oil.
Right.
I think there has, and Sweden also, even though that's not an oil play, has also been quite weak over the last month or so. So I think, you know, the Scandis in general will strengthen back. And I think part of the weakness we've seen recently is pension fund allocations of Norway and Sweden outside of their countries. Once that flow is gone through, Norway should strengthen to where it's you would expect it, you know, looking where oil is. And
right.
Sweden should strengthen on the back of it being more likely to exit QE relative to perhaps even Europe and definitely Switzerland, for example. Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite interesting because I was short Euro Swedish krona a few months ago, and then it started to trade higher, although the numbers were quite strong, especially on inflation side. But it's good point. Where do you think your target is on Euro Swedish krona?
I think it has a good chance. Like just looking at the seasonality, it could rally about 2% from here. So as in Sweden's strengthening from here.
Right, right. Okay, cool.
Yep.
I guess that's it, huh? Thanks for your thoughts. To wrap up, you know, risk rally is your view continues. Not as strong as before, but still at a steady pace. Emerging markets do well. Aussie bearish and rates are contained until tax reforms go through, right? I guess so. Okay, thanks Damien. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Very helpful for forming my thoughts for the rest of the holiday season and preparing for next year. All right, good
Thank
luck
you,
with your new fund launch. Hope you rake it in.
Thank you very much.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.